Freedom, my guy. What's going on?
What's going on, man?
What's going on? I don't know. It felt like a longer time period that we've gone without speaking.
Yeah.
This one felt different.
It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with you? I was last time we spoke, you were taking a trip. How'd the trip go?
Amazing. I'm going back.
Yeah, but why are you going back? Any reasons particular?
It was a lot. Baltimore is a great city to visit.
Oh yeah, I don't know, but okay.
Baltimore's a good city. It was good to me. Baltimore treated me well.
Oh, they treated you well. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad you had a good time in Baltimore. We'll leave it right there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Everything else cool? You chilling? Everything good? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. How's everything? How's the wife?
No, wife's good. Life is good. Can't complain. I could complain about how the Lakers are officially the worst team in the NBA. I don't care if they have 30 wins. They are the worst team in the NBA. They just lost to the Knicks.
Hey, so, on a game-winning block.
On a game-winning block after being up by double digits in the fourth quarter. So, yeah. But they're like, they have too many wins to even be tanking. They shouldn't even be tanking because they're not going to get a pick. So we're just in a weird spot where we suck, but it won't even pay off to be bad. We're like the worst of the worst. Like the Knicks, like, all right, cool. They won that game. They only have like 13 wins on the season. So it's like, all right, cool. You won a game. They're still in the running to get a lottery pick. We have 31 wins. So like, even if we lost the rest of our games, we still wouldn't even, like, we would be like the worst of the lottery teams.
Yeah.
So it would be like, we just like, we can't do nothing right now. We stink. Like, we are really bad. Like, we're bad with no like direction. Like, most teams is like, all right, be bad for a pick. Like, we're going to end up getting that 15th pick, 16th pick. Like, it's so bad. Oh, my God. Anyway, sorry. Hello, listeners. I had to get that off my chest. Hello, listeners. Glad you guys made it to another week. Two Friends Talking Podcast. Stefan Free here. Giving it to you. I don't really know what to talk about this week. I'm gonna be honest. What happened in the world? I mean, yeah, what really happened?
I mean, it's been a quiet, honestly. To me, maybe I'm in a bubble, but
I feel like this is just a long week. I haven't even really been focused on like what's been going on in like pop culture and stuff. I just been kind of like, I don't know. I just haven't been paying attention. That might be my bad. I wasn't doing my research this week. I failed the listeners. I can own that. Failed them this week.
I had another person come up to me and jump ship to come to my side with things. So I'm proud of myself. I think the masses are finally starting to – I feel like Soulja Boy. Like, at first, like, when I start talking, like, I sound crazy. And you start to really think about it, and you're like, you know, he kind of has a point.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about here?
One of my brothers comes up to me, and he says, you know what, Freedom? You might be right. Chris Brown's catalog matches up with probably anyone in history. Like, his music catalog almost stands alone R&B wise. Like, there's very few that even compare, like, the amount of hits, the longevity. Like, Chris Brown is that guy, and I was excited to hear that.
Is Chris Brown really R&B though, or is he pop?
He's been both.
So then you can't say his catalog stand up against the R&B catalog, because it's like, which songs are you taking?
There's been very rare. How many R&B singers didn't cross over and like come back? Like, Chris Brown has played both. Like, he's done both very well. How many R&B singers have only done R&B and didn't do like something in the other genres? Like, didn't, you know, touch a foot into other genres or anything? Like, I think all of them have.
I think Trey has never really gone pop. Trey's never really gone pop.
And Trey's been aware for how long?
I mean, but I'm saying, but if, that's what I'm saying. But if we talking just straight R&B, because it's like, okay, cool. What is R&B right now? That's what I'm saying. It's a dying genre of just pure R. Well, not dying, but it's like you got people like Black or like Lucky Day stuff. People like that who are like now, like the new era of R&B, or like a Daniel Caesar, something like that. Where it's like, okay, now we got a new wave of R&B. But for like that whole Chris Brown era, there wasn't really. I mean, I'm a Chris Brown fan, but for the sake of, you know, we got a podcast, you can't agree all the time. But, like, Chris Brown is like, he's like, how many, what was that Chris Brown's last R&B song?
Do you, okay, for R&B, does it matter what, is it because of the tempo? Like, if he's, like, Undecided is, like, borderline both, because I feel like it's an R&B song, but it's pop-ish, because it's more up-tempo. And upbeat.
But I feel like a real R&B like, you know song, saying? You would just know. Like the fact that like we could say Trey's songs don't really make pop songs. He makes R&B songs. And that's like pretty much given. Like you wouldn't say like
no,
her.
No,
like her is R&B, but you wouldn't say R&B is pop. You wouldn't say she's pop. You know an R&B song when you hear it.
The oh, Nana, look what you started. That's not really R&B to me. That's more popish.
Well, like, yeah, no, does, I'm not saying like you know what I'm yeah, saying. Like,
that's
I'm
more
saying,
of an up-tempo R&B. Like it's weird that they almost created a new category because there's like a soulful R&B, like John Legend's soul R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's soulful, pop. Like yeah. And then there's like a pop R&B, and then there's regular pop. That's like.
But I think it's like only R&B because they're not rapping. Because I feel like that's why we just calling it. I mean, that's why we call it like it because it's like I mean, half of them are like now rapping too. That's what I'm saying. Like R&B is so like. That's why I said like now like the Daniel Caesars, the Blacks, the like Lucky Days, people like that who are now. It's like there's no denying it. It's R&B. Like they're not making radio songs that are pop that are gonna go. Like what's the last straight R&B song to like just really like connect?
Straight R&B.
Yeah.
It might be a while.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what are we talking about? John Legend, All of You, All of Me. Like, cause that's like, that was like an R&B song. Like, there's not, like, that's not a pop song.
Yeah, that's
an R&B song that just exploded. But I'm saying, as far as like a male, like in the male genre, what's the last R&B song to just really just take off? I really think it's like All of
how
Me.
How long has
like,
it been? How long has it been since Miguel put out music? Miguel's pure R&B.
Didn't he put out something last year? The War and Legion? No, not War and Legion. What is the name of his album? He put out an album last year. But I don't think any, what was it? Was it the joint with Travis Scott? That wasn't R&B. Oh.
To me, it wasn't.
Was it Skyscrapers? Not Skyscrapers. What was the name of the song? Yeah.
Yeah, it was
something like that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Even Miguel is straight. Like, I wouldn't consider him pop at all.
Skywalker.
That's what it was. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, so that's what I'm talking, like, is even when we do, like, when we do the Chris Brown versus Michael Jackson. Well, now we just talking pure entertainment.
I wasn't going against Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson's not R&B. He's pop. Like he's purely the king of pop. Like how many R&B joints? Like I'm sure Chris Brown purely just has more R&B music. Period than Michael Jackson. That's I don't think that's even debatable. You think Michael Jackson has more R&B music than Chris Brown?
I mean, you gotta talk about the songs that's not. You got to talk about the other songs on the album that wasn't like the singles. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look, listen back at, I mean, no, but he's the king of pop. So I'm not even saying, I won't say he has more R&B, but I don't want to make it seem like Michael Jackson couldn't do R&B songs. But because I mean, we can say the same thing about Chris Brown. Yeah. You got to listen to the other songs on Chris Brown album to now say, oh, okay, there's some R&B joints in there because any song that pops, Chris Brown doesn't have any songs that pop that were R&B that were just like ballads. Because that's like, he wasn't, so it's like the same thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. I feel like, maybe it was like 90s R&B when you had Tyrese and Genuine and Usher. Maybe that's when you was getting like real R&B. But besides that, everything had to be pop. And it was like even R&B acts had to become pop acts. That's why like Neo was like the king of like just the crossover, because he was like everything that was coming out of him was like pop. And he was an R&B singer. Like he wasn't rapping, but it was an R&B singer. He had some soul, but it was like in order to pop, you had to do go pop.
What it is that, see, like that whole class, like Chris Brown, Trey Songz, Neo, like those guys kind of came out around the same time. And like crossing over, crossing over, even coming back to the R&B side, like Chris Brown has outlived everyone.
And well, yeah, as like a pure entertainer right now in music alone, yeah. But
the even same the dream, can, you know, the dream, just, the dream is a writer. He's a phenomenal writer, but the dream is like kind of not here. August Alsina is no longer here. Like,
yeah,
Chris Brown is. Just straight
musically. I mean, yeah, if we're only talking about who is still relevant as far as music, yeah, then Chris Brown has definitely outlived all of them. But then some of them are doing different things. Like, you know, like, so it's like, yeah, so we're talking about just strictly on the music end. Yeah, he definitely has outworked all of them. But then Neo was in the middle of his thing and still writing songs for like the biggest people in the world. I don't know. And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, if we're going to talk all around, then we got to talk all around. Or if we just talking musically, then that's one debate. But if we're talking the greatest, because then we got to put some other people in there. Like Neo was writing songs for Cher and Celine Dion. And like, did he write something for Michael? I don't know if you remember anything for Michael, but he was writing stuff like Beyonce and stuff like that. So that's what I'm saying. And that's the thing. I don't know. Has Chris Brown ever wrote songs for anybody? Like knowing, like openly?
I have no idea.
Because then honestly, I feel like that's a thing, because it's like, cool. It's one thing to be able to write your own stuff, but then to be able to write songs for, and not just write songs for like new artists coming up, but for established people. Like, I feel like Beyonce ain't letting everybody write songs for her, but Neo was definitely writing songs for Beyonce.
The dream is in that boat, because he writes for a sure. ton of people, and his last hit was like falsetto.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, but he's written so many hits for people.
So many hits, which is the thing. So if we talking about the greatest, are we talking about the greatest entertainer?
But
greatest think, just all I around?
Think, I think for you to be great, period, right? And I'm not saying that they're not great. Those guys are phenomenal. As far as The Dream, Neo, they're phenomenal. Okay, I'm going to quote your man, and I hate to do this because I don't like him. Oh, my God, I hate that I'm about to do this. I'm going to quote Drake.
Okay.
Drake dissing Pusha T said, and I quote, "Whoever supposedly making me hits but ain't got no hits sound like they need me." These guys are making hits for other people, but they haven't put out any hits in forever. So, like, how great are they? Chris Brown could probably write some hits for people, but he's still here. He just put out a 40-track album, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then Undecided came out, like, mid last year. Like, he's still doing it. I'm sure, like, if we look it up, he probably has written for people, but he's helping to write hits, I'm sure, and he's putting out his own hits, whereas those guys are just writing hits for other people for whatever reason. Maybe they just don't think they can resonate with the audience anymore. Like, you know, that pure R&B maybe they feel is a dying genre, so they don't want to do it, so that they'll write for other people, but they won't write for themselves. But, like, Chris Brown is still very much alive and well, whereas yeah. everybody else is kind of like – Trey Songz put out, like, two albums last year in 2018. Like, well, I forget what they were called, like 28 and, like, 11 or something like that.
And
I had no idea that he put them out until like yeah. I went to go look up old Trey Songz music that I was in a mood for. I was like, you know, I'm gonna go look up some old Trey Songz, some old Neos, you know, some like early 2000s, like when they first came out. And I was like, oh wait, Trey Songz got two new albums? Like since when? Like I was confused. Like that's how bad it's
well,
gotten yeah. for those
well,
guys.
Well, no, Trey Songz messed up because when Chris Brown went to jail, that was his moment to really like skyrocket and take over that spot.
Yeah, he
was supposed to like really. He was supposed to do what Drake did to Lil Wayne. I was just like, oh, okay, yeah. cool. I'm going to just take this spot over for you, keep it nice and warm for you, but I'm just not going to be back. That's what he was supposed to do, and he definitely did. He, like, he left it warm, and then Chris Brown got out, and then he was like, here you go, Chris. And he ain't been the same since. So yeah, that's what he, that was his moment. And well, for all of them, him, August Alsina, like all of them, they all, that was their golden opportunity to like, all right, Chris gone for a while, we could like step up. And none of them did it. Chris got out of jail and was like performing at the awards like a month later. So like, yeah, they messed up on that one.
He's just, yeah. You know what's funny? Not that they're any way in any, like, their crimes similar. Like, you know, Chris Brown, what he did with him and Rihanna, and like what, like R. Kelly, you know, his whole case that, but like both of them, like, had their court cases. And R. Kelly came out and put out music, like, right after he had got cleared for that original, like, Pissing on a Girl video. Mm-hmm. And people had forgotten about it, like, really quick. Until like now recently, like, we're back on his like case, like, yeah, we gotta get you out of here.
That's how you do. That's how you gotta do. You gotta put out the music to distract people.
Yeah, from like whatever, all that stuff. And like very few people still be like, oh, well, I can't forgive him because of what he did. I'm like, he was like how old? Like, he was young. He made a mistake. Like, I haven't heard any Chris Brown beating up a female rumors since. He's had false allegations, but like, because these allegations keep coming up, whether they're false or whatever, his name keeps getting dragged, and that's why people, I think, don't want to give him that nod of being, he's probably a living legend at this point. Like, he's been here for 14 years now. Not that he can stick around consistently for 14 years and not, like, especially through what he's been through, you know, people don't really stick around after stuff like that. And he's stuck through it, you know, like, he's a living legend, and he's going to continue to be great, but like, people won't give him that nod because of one mistake that he's made.
For sure. And then, you know, I don't know how we keep talking about Chris Brown every podcast. I'm sorry, listeners, but this is what real life, this is what real life conversations be like, where it's like, it's never, you talk about it one time and then that's it. Like, somehow you keep talking about it and you keep talking about it. So this is all we doing. We just having real conversations about, this is how our real life conversations go. Like, it took me millions of times of telling him Kobe was the best for him to finally become a Kobe fan. And it just happened over one conversation. It took time. So this is just kind of how our conversations go, where we don't, like, talk about it one time and drop it. Yeah.
Just to segue off of Chris Brown, though, because I had a crazy opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody called me crazy. And then I explained myself, and they said, you know what? You might have a point here. So I'm going to open up the conversation to you. It hit me today that this music generation, and I'm not talking about like just like today's music with the Little Pumps, like, I'm talking about like, I'm maybe since hip hop was dead, quote unquote, when Soulja Boy came in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Since then till now and moving forward has been the best music generation of all time. Hear me out. Because people call me crazy. As far as the Big Daddy Kanes and, you know, Slick Ricks, and you had the NWAs and Jay-Z's and the Eminems and the Ice Cubes, everything. Leading up until the Nas's of the world, the DMX's, like everything leading up until that current generation of the Wale's, the J. Cole's, the Kendrick's, the Soulja, even the Soulja Boys, I'm sorry to group them together, not that they're same level, but you know, this whole generation, even the Wiz Khalifas, Little Pumps, the difference between now and then is back then, right, you had to have gone through it to really feel it. Like, you can enjoy Biggie and Pac and everything else. You can enjoy the music. The music was great. Hypnotize was phenomenal. Dear Mama was great. Hail Mary was great. You know, 99 Problems, great. Like, you know, all these things were phenomenal, but their lyrics, word for word, were stuff that, like, you're like, yo, that's so hot. But, like, we didn't understand it if we didn't really go through it. Whereas now, music is, hip hop and rap is more for everyone. Like, some of it's just party music. Like, it's just turn up, like, here to have a good time. Some of it is still, you know, feeling like something you've gone through. You know, it's just so much more well-rounded nowadays that I feel like this generation might be the best generation of music just because of that. Not that it's talent-wise the best, but because of that, it's so much more relatable for anyone, which is why hip hop is taken over as the most popular genre.
I can see why you would think that. I could, no, I could, I will say, but then that's also because back then there weren't as many outlets for anybody to just put out any kind of music they wanted. So it's not a bad thing, because now it's like, because yeah, before it was like, cool, you had a cycle of, you got three or four people who are going to get put on for the next couple of years, who are going to have their wave. And then another 2 or 3 years, you'll add another two people. And so it was like, you got the same people all the time, because most people, there was a million people making music, and I'm sure it wasn't all the same kind of music, but at the end of the day, it was like, you know what? These are the people who the record companies or whatever got their eye on, that they want to make hot, and that was it. It was like, if you wasn't one of those few people, then you was just screwed. You just had to wait and hope and pray. Now, all you need is people making music from their bedroom. Like, you know, you make music from your bedroom, you upload it, and boom, it's up there. Anybody can hear it anytime they want to. And now everybody has a shot. So it's like, it's a lot more people who can make a lot of different kind of music. So yeah, now just the genre of hip hop, because right now there's more people. Yeah. Hip hop is so popular that anybody feels like they can do it. It's like, all right, cool. I can get the most simple beat in the world and just say what I want. It can rhyme, it can not rhyme, it could be five words, it could just be a hook that runs the whole time. And yeah, because everybody's done drugs, everybody's been drunk, and it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, now, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of people back in the day who felt like, but then that's the thing too. It's like, cool, there's probably a bunch of people who was partying, who was listening to music, who felt it was in a vibe, and who felt like, yo, I could do that, I could make that, but they ain't had the stuff to make it. Like, if you ain't have nobody who had the expensive equipment or who get you studio time, then that's all it was. It was a thought. Now, you on your phone, you could make something. You could start put the melody or something or whatever to it. And so now anybody can make it and put it on YouTube, put it on SoundCloud, and then the next thing you know, all it takes is for it to hit a little bit. All you need is a few people to like it, and then you off to the races. So yeah, it's good and bad, because it's like, cool. It gives everybody a chance. Like, yeah, there's music that like the Little Pumps and all these other Smoke Perps and Zan, Little Zans, and all these people who, like, nobody in their right mind 10 years ago was giving these kids a chance. Just 10 years ago, they wouldn't have, there's no way they would have got a chance. But now, because it's like, cool, nobody, which is good, because it's like, all right, cool, y'all not going to give me a chance. I'm going to make my own lane. And now they've created their own lane that right now is kind of, you know, for that generation, as far as they see it, like, that's what hip hop is right now. So it's good and it's bad, because it's like, my thing is just like, all right, cool. Like, because everything has a cycle. And for right now, hip hop is the number one. It's the way. But at what point is it going to become now where it's not the cycle no more? Like,
it's going to be a long time, I think.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's weird, like, because Kanye said this how long ago when he was on his whole rant, like, where's the new rock and roll? Rap is the new rock and roll. And we were calling him crazy for that whole rant he had. And here we are a few years later down the road, and it actually is the new rock and roll, because rock and roll ran the airwaves. It was considered the most popular genre from like the 70s up until now. You know, rock and roll had a very long run, and Kanye's been ranting for years now saying that rap is the new rock and roll. And like, everybody's like, oh, he's just crazy. That's Kanye, you know, he's losing it. That was before he was in the sunken place, Kanye. He was just venting at that point. And me going to the basketball court, I'm sure you've seen it, walking the streets, like, once he had said that, I went to the park, and that's like a few days later after that. And I remember playing basketball, and I'm at a community center, and we're outside playing, and a cop circles the community center, just making his rounds. And this white kid goes, oh, look, it's the Pigs. I'm like, what? Like, he heard that in a rap song or something. Like, you know, like, it was just like, yo, like, it was so, like, I live in a very good community. It's not like I live in the ghetto anymore. You know, you live in a very good place as well. Like, so when you hear that, you're like, okay, you just listen to too much rap music at this point. Like, it's stop. Now you just kind of sound ignorant at that point. But like, in my head, I'm also like, wow, like, rap is really the new rock and roll. Like, this kid could have said, like, he didn't have to make a comment. The cop drove by. Yeah. He didn't do anything. And he had to make the comment. Like, oh, look, it's the Pigs. So I'm like, what? So like,
yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you think about, you know, think about the Grammys in themselves, about how like the biggest categories used to be like, best rock song or best pop song of the year, and now the biggest ones are like whatever, what, like album of the year and all that stuff, and like it's usually what five nominees. Yeah. And three out of those that five is hip hop, or like the biggest awards are like a best rap song, best rap album, best rap song.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, like it's running it. It really is running it. Before, there was a time when like that stuff used to be, that was the awards they gave out during a commercial break, but you just had to like read about it. And now like those are the ones that are being like televised because it's like, that's what everybody wants to see. So for sure, like, no, rap, I'm not saying it's going away anytime soon. I'm just saying like, because it's interesting, because I think that's what, When Offset did his interview on Breakfast Club, he said that like that whole like the mumble rap and like the just like the party rap where you ain't really saying nothing, how like that's kind of getting old now. And I'm like, cool, that's been like the way for like maybe what the past 2-3 years where it's really been like mumble rap heavy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like if he's saying that, and he like Migos was like the kings of that. Just like the party and the mumble rap, and it's like about like the chains and the money and the cars and stuff like that. So if he's 3 years later already saying, yeah, that's kind of getting old now, which I mean, they're also getting older. So it's like they're doing different things. He's a father now. I don't know about the rest of them. Like he's a father of four now. So it's like, all right, cool. Like how many, if after 3 years now you was going heavy at it and now you saying, yeah, that's not really cool no more. Or like now we got to get back to like, hey, saying something of substance. So that's what I'm saying. It's going to shift. Not to say that hip hop is going to shift, but the hip hop that we know of right now, or like the popular hip hop, because like Cole and Kendrick ain't really popular. They popular to us, but they not really popular to like the, you know, kids right now.
The masses. Yeah.
The masses. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. It's, I mean, I hope it shifts.
I like having both, because one makes me appreciate the other. Like, there's times where I'm in my car and I'm driving or I'm at work and, like, I have to hear some substance. I got to put on J. Cole. I got to put on Wale. I got to put on Kendrick. I got to put on my guys because I want to hear something, you know? I might need some spoken word for the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's days where I'm, like, too much is on my mind and I don't want to think more. I kind of want to ease my mind. So I'll put on Migos. I'll put on one of these other guys, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna just turn up. My mind is on enough. I don't need to think even more, you know. So one makes me appreciate the other at all times. Like, you know, like even with, to jump into like, I guess the next one, we're gonna have a heavy music podcast today. But do you like the constant flow of like all the time releases, or do you like the subtle breaks that people take? Like Drake is a very consistent, like he puts out, Chris Brown's another one, they put out consistently, whereas the J. Cole and Kendricks take a year, 2 year breaks. Big Sean, I don't know where he went, but you know, they take those extended long breaks and they make you miss them so much. Like, do you have a preference?
I like the balance of it. Like I feel like if all artists did it, it would be so trash. But I like the fact that we have big artists like a Drake or like a Chris Brown that's going to constantly give us something. So we have something to look forward to. But then it makes us think like, oh, okay, cool. I heard from Drake. I heard from Chris Brown. Where Cole at? Or where Kendrick at? Like it makes us feel like, I like the balance of both, because I feel like constant. And my thing is like, cool. Constant is good as long as you keep giving us good music. Like if Drake was putting out music, but it was trash, then I know you think it's trash, but if it was like unanimously trash, but it's then it would be like, man, you need to go away, because now you're just getting on our nerves. Like you're just putting out music to put out music and it's not good. Like who was doing that? Like Future. Like Future was
Future did it. Lil Wayne was starting to get annoying for a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he was getting, it was where it was like, it was just like so much. And it wasn't even quality no more. It was just like, let me just give you music because I got it. And it was just like, but then after a certain amount of time, people were not even going, you know, the first couple of times people would give you a chance. Like, all right, maybe he just had a, you know, every artist have like a bad album, a couple bad songs, which just don't hit. But now when it's like, nope, that one wasn't it either. After a while, you're not even going to listen no more. So it could be the greatest. It could be a classic album, but you're like, nah, I'm over it. So I feel like it's a good mix. Like, I feel like the people that keep giving us good music, that's their system and it's working. So like for them to go away for like, I feel like that wouldn't even work for them because that's not creatively how they work. But like the Coles and the Kendricks and stuff like that, I feel like I'm perfectly fine. I'm good with the balance. I don't want one over the other because okay. I don't want to be waiting. I don't want to be waiting dumb long. Like we haven't had, like Big Sean gave us the joint with him and Metro Boomin. But I mean, honestly, his last good album was Dark Sky Fantasy. And that was what, 2015, 2016? Yeah. So it's been, let's just say it's been 3 years since we got, 3-4 years since we got Great Sean. Like that's too long.
But it's gonna come this year. You know, Ariana Grande brought him to the spotlight, so something's gonna come.
I hope so. But yeah, but then like, yeah, so like that's too long. But then like the consistency where it's like Chris Brown gave us 45 tracks and then gave us like another mixtape and the mixtape was still fire. And then he comes back and gives us, you know, and then he gives us a good single, you know, like, so it's like, all right, yeah. Cool. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, I think that's what I had said, you know, I said it more goes by artist or by genre. Like with R&B and pop and like the Chris Brown and Drake, you know, their kind of music, I don't mind the flow that they're going at. But like the J. Cole, Kendrick, Wale's, you know, like I want them to take their time because there's so much substance. I don't want them to rush it.
Yeah. That's the thing, yeah, because you don't want, like, I don't just want music for the saying, like, oh, J. Cole put on a song, but then it's not good, because then it's going to be like, yo, that's the first thing we all going to say is like, yo, you should have just waited and took your time with that, yeah. And just, like, gave us something better, more quality. Yeah, like, certain people just aren't, like, certain people, we respect their process enough to, like, know that, like, we waiting, but when we get it, we going to get it. It's going to be fire. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. I feel like, yeah, I'm not expecting, honestly, there's very few artists that I'm actually looking for. There's Drake, Cole, Kendrick, you know, the ones that are, that you know you're getting quality from.
Yeah.
Like these,
yeah.
These new age kids, like I don't, if I do catch a song that I like, I'm like, all right, cool. That was cool. But I'm not looking for something. Like, I don't even know how frequent, like, I don't know the frequency. I don't know how fast they just like spitting them out. Cause I'm like, I was like, oh, cool. If I hear it, I hear it, but I'm just not looking for it. And that's just not for me. They're not making music for me. So
do you like Juice WRLD?
No. I mean, not that I don't like him. I just like, I haven't listened to it enough. And I know like he's like more like the sad music kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not sad in my life right now. So it's like, it's not for me. It's not for me. Like, cool. If I had like if I was really depressed, maybe it would connect more. But right now, it's just not.
I feel you. Yeah, and I asked you that to ask this. Like, yeah, Juice WRLD is his first album. Like, is incredible. Like, I'm actually upset he wasn't nominated for any kind of album award. Like, if you go back and listen to the album, I know like you're not sad in your life, but like he was his first album. Like, hit. Like it was front to back a very quality album. And I didn't hear the entire album for like a couple months because I was so stuck. I was like, oh, this album's top heavy because the first like 5 songs are so hot. There's no way the bottom half is going to be this good. And then I finally took the second half of the album and I was like, wow, the second half is better than the first half. Like it might be bottom heavy, but there's, so it's just front to back nonstop. It's just good stuff. And then he puts out a new album recently and it was very good. It wasn't as good as his first album, but you know, a lot of people have that sophomore slump kind of album. And I was going to say, like, people like him, they put out this – Kid Cudi's done it since the beginning of time, you know, so he's in that category where, like, are they openly expressing their problems with facing depression and anxiety and these kind of mental problems, or – do you think they're kind of feeding off of a youth or a certain people that actually have those issues and, or they make normal people want to feel depressed? Like, you know, like you hear them, you're like, man, like now I'm kind of like I'm not like their music is so it's making you it's pushing you down type of thing.
Yeah.
Or they just bring it, or they bring it out the real out. Like if you might like really be struggling with it, and they're bringing it out of
Yeah.
you, or like they're making you feel that way. Like that you don't like you might be in a real good mood. You might listen to Pharrell and like the happy song by Pharrell, and then you listen to Juice WRLD or Kid Cudi, and you're like, wow, like damn, now I'm kind of down. Like I don't know if they're like bringing that subconscious part out of you, making you realize that like you know maybe something is really wrong with you, like you're not okay today, or they're forcing a thought into your head that's not there.
I feel like certain, I feel like to go, because I feel like those, you know, like the feelings that they expressed are very specific. So I feel like people who've never, you know, certain, because like we're rapping, I feel like the difference between R&B and rap is that like, cool, yeah, you could have never, I could have never sold drugs or lived that street life, but I got a pretty good idea of like what, you know, the overall general to be able to say, oh, I slung this, or like I was on that block, da 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 da, in a rap. But like, and that's not, there's nothing emotional about that. That's just me saying, you know, that's just me regurgitating what I've heard other street rappers say or whatever. But I feel like with R&B and like when you really singing these stuff, like it's hard to like fake that, or like some of these very specific experiences that you hear, like some of these sad, depressed songs that really pop, it's because that's like a specific. That's like, it's like almost when you see like the, like how some memes be OD specific, but you like, yo, I've definitely experienced that. And it's like, yo, like it's like they were living with me and they, like they knew it. 'Cause it was like very specific, but I feel like some of these like sad, specific, depressed songs would be like certain specific things that like get you in that feeling where other people can relate. And it's like, oh yeah, I felt that. And I feel like that's hard to like just, like it's hard to like fake that or to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just play off of an emotion because sadness is an emotion. Because it's like, how do you even take your mind to even think of that specific, deep, dark kind of sadness? I feel like that's just like that. That's like the craziest part. So I feel I don't think that they're like the Cuddies and stuff like that, where it's like they really like get in touch with, especially people who have like openly like suffer from stuff like that. But no, I think that, yeah, I think their stuff be real, because I just feel like that's the difference between R&B and hip hop. It's just that, like, yeah, like it's easier to like just rap something and make it sound good, but you don't know, have any idea what you're talking about, versus R&B now, where you got to really put that emotion in it. Otherwise, it ain't connecting, and ain't nobody gonna rock with it. You'll be able to catch like the casual fan, but like anybody else would be like, nah, that's fake. So yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it is, but I mean, you know, it's also a business, so I'm sure people have gone or like wrote song or like said things. Because I mean, yeah, there's people who write songs for other people who haven't really experienced it, but they're able to portray it. So I get it. But I feel like there has to be, at some level, there's like,
Some
even
level of
if you,
understanding or relation.
yeah, like, all right, cool. I may not have experienced that specific things, but yeah, I know what you mean by that. Or like, I've been in a similar situation, or I've experienced something along those lines, so I can draw on that. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that.
So you sent me the Get Out track. Oh no, not Get Out. I mean the Us.
Us track, yeah.
Oh man, that was great. I bumped it like
Yeah.
three times actually.
Yeah. Those of us who are just
That got me
oblivious
hype
and
all
don't know
over
what we're
again.
talking about. But yeah, I was like, it was like a, what was it, like an article on Facebook or something, and they had a link to like the I Got Five on It, but like the Us version. Like, so like the, like from start to finish, or like from the time it comes on, like all the eeriness, and that joint just got me so hyped. I can't wait for, it's this Friday, yeah.
Yes,
This
this
Friday that
Friday.
it come out, yeah. I will be seeing it, so we will be talking about it on our next podcast, unless you don't see
No,
it. So
I actually did not get to see Captain Marvel yet, which I'm upset.
it's
I've heard that, and I've heard it's really good. I've heard it's necessary, pretty much,
I mean, it's the
because
backstory. It's her backstory. Yeah,
she's gonna
she
be
plays
in
a big
Endgame. She has a
role.
yeah, she has a
Yeah.
big role. So It's necessary.
So, like, you needed it to know, like, okay, cool. And it was like basically Samuel Jackson's backstory, too. It was, like, both of their movies. Like, they were in the movie the same amount of time together, it felt like. Okay. So, it's, like, how he became, like, what happened to his eye, how he became, like, head of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then, like, her whole backstory. Yeah. So, it's, like, it made all this money. Like, it's made, like, $700 million right now. And that a lot of that is only because of Endgame. It's I feel like if it was just another movie that didn't really, or like it was in the earlier stages and you didn't really know how it was going to play out, I don't think it would have been, the hype of it wouldn't have been as big at all. But a lot of that is just strictly Endgame because it was like, oh, okay, you know what? The last thing we saw on Endgame was Nick Fury sending the message to her. So it's like, all right, cool. Who is this Captain Marvel? Now we got to go watch it and get her backstory. It was okay. Like, it was cool. That's as far as I'll go.
I haven't seen it yet. And with us coming out this weekend, now I had planned originally to go see Captain Marvel this weekend, but that's going to have to get pushed back a little bit more because I will be watching Us and not Captain Marvel this weekend. That's just what's going to happen. That's just my choice. And I will. I can't help it. Yeah. Like, speaking of Us, how many times did you see the movie Get Out?
Maybe two or three times. Not like back to back. Like, I saw it in the movie theaters, and then once it started coming on TV, like, you know, you're scrolling and then you're like, oh, Get Out is on. I watch it. And then it's like, you know, a couple weeks later, oh, I missed the first half. Oh, I caught it from the beginning. I watch it beginning now, you know.
Okay, so I watched a YouTube video. Jordan Peele was going through Reddit reading fan theories about Get Out. Mm-hmm. It's like a 10-minute video. And some fan theories were just like out the window. He was like, you smoke too much weed. Like, he was literally saying that to these people. And in other ones, he was like, you know, this is actually very true. Like, this, a lot of the fan theories that people wrote were like actually very true. So I only seen it once and I was in theater. I watched this fan theory and then I watched the movie Get Out a second time. And the movie became like 1,000 times more amazing to me watching it the second time around. Like, I didn't catch all the subtle things that were like subliminal in the movie the first time around, whereas like second time around I'm like, wow, like she, like when they hit the deer, right, and the cop asks for his driver license, and she's like, no, like you weren't driving. In my head the first time I'm like, yeah, defend your man. And now I'm looking at it after like watching the YouTube thing, she was so mad because she didn't want a paper trail of him with her,
being with her and being there,
and that slipped my mind. I didn't even think about that, like little things like that. And let's see, what was some other things? Some of the other things were like pretty obvious when everybody's coming. Everybody has black cars because they're about to drive in. They're hoping to drive off in a new black body. Like, that's why everyone drove a black car to the event. You know, when the dad is giving a tour of the house, he says, we had to board the basement up. There's black mold. A black mold, you know, it's a mold. It's a body. It's a mold. They're about to put a brain in. It's not actual mold. It's the mold of, it's a form. It's a shell that they're going to put a brain in. Black mold. And I was like, yo, like, all these little things were just like, blew my mind after watching the movie the second time. I was like, yo, I didn't catch some of the little, like the smallest things, you know? And I was like, this movie is like, and it got me even more hyped for Us. Because Us, I'm going to have to go see, now I'm going to have to watch it two or three times because I'm going to miss some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people. I mean, that's what, but it's like only, like, I feel like there's only so many movies that can kind of just garner that kind of like attention. Of like creating all these fan theories and stuff, like Marvel movies do it, and now Jordan Peele does it, where it's like now every movie, as long as he keeps making movies like this, every movie is going to be like this. Like, if Us is as good, which I think it will be, if it gets the attention that I think Get Out is going, like that Get Out got, then like every movie is going to be like that, where it's like it's going to be fan theories, it's going to create a whole life, it's going to have its own. Like, he will have his own fan base where it's just like, yo, I'm just a fan of Jordan Peele's movies. Which, yeah, if this one hits, which I think it will, yeah, he'll be on his way. And, like, they'll, like, every movie for the rest of his life will have a some sort of fan theory or like subliminal messages and stuff that you missed and going and watching it 2 and 3 times. And yeah, it'll be crazy.
I'm excited. Yeah, like when he puts the cotton in his ear.
Yeah.
Somebody said, like, you know, it's a nice turnaround, like, you know, like with slavery, like cotton actually freed him instead of enslaving him. Like the cotton actually freed him. Like he picking the cotton from the chair, yeah, freed him instead. Like the little things. I'm like, yo, this is amazing. I love this movie. Like, yeah, Get Out was, and I only seen it once, and I thought the movie was great the first time. Like, I didn't feel the need to watch it again. I was like, man, this movie was great, but I never thought to watch it again. And then I watched it again just the other night, like a night or two ago, and I was like, wow, like my mind was blown on a different level than the first time around, you know.
And so you I actually was in reverse, because like I saw it, and because it had so much hype, I went in there with expectation, and I was like, this movie wasn't all that. It was all right, but then like for real, but then it was like, I took until like reading the different fan theories and the symbolism, and then just watching it again. So I didn't really know what happened. So it was like I was watching it with so much anticipation, but then it was like when I watched it again with all the fan theories and kind of no expectations, yeah, just like, let me just watch it. Then it was like, all right, no, this movie's kind of good. And then it was like, all right, cool. And then by the time I watched it the third time, I was like, oh no, this is a good movie. But it was like the first time, because I was like, it was, the expectation was so high. And because, and I guess because everybody kept calling, well, not everybody, but because it was supposed to be like a horror movie, but for me, it wasn't really horror. It
was more suspense. For sure was not horror. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, everybody was like, so that's, I feel like that was the issue too, because I went into it thinking like, oh, it's a horror movie because that's how it was played up. And then I was like, there was nothing scary about it. It was just like, you know, it was like a suspense or a thriller kind of movie. And so like, I think that threw me. And then I just had all these expectations that I shouldn't have had anyway, but it was just so much hype around it. So, it's going to be tough to see us without the expectations, but I'm going to try to learn from not doing that with Get Out. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, the horror part of Get Out was me, was I was dating a white girl at the time, and we went to go see it together. So it became a horror movie to me.
Because after like the movie ended, super awkward.
Absolutely.
Like,
I looked at her
awkward.
And I was like,
that's like going to see a slave movie with your white girlfriend. Like, you know, it's like, or your white significant other, and you go to see a slave movie and you're like black. I feel like that's the most awkward situation ever. Ever.
I looked at her after the movie ended, the credits are rolled. I looked at her, I was like, yeah, we're not going home together tonight. We're not sleeping the same bed tonight, sweetheart.
I'm this never going to meet your parents.
Yep, like, we're not doing this no more.
If you ever fumble with keys, like,
I already know what type of time you're on. If you fumble the keys, you don't know where the keys are. You don't
if
know
your brother alcoholic, big. I'm out. Like, if your mother's a psychiatrist or anything of that nature, like, nah, I'm out. I'm never going over there. Definitely. That's funny. If y'all y'all got black workers, I'm out. It's like so many things. Yeah. Respect.
That was a great movie. Yeah, I'm so hyped for us.
Yeah.
Man, it's gonna be great.
So there was a topic. The topic that you talked about, was that last week or week before last week? You said you would have ended up, podcast would end up being dumb long, but I feel like it was an interesting topic where you talked about do men or do women really want to know, like, the whole knowing about
how honest can men be,
how honest can men really be. Like that's a very interesting topic, and I want to get into it, because
let's do it.
Yeah, so set it up for me the way you set it up before, and then okay. I can really get into it.
With how honest can men be, and on many levels, but let's say for one, you're a single male, right? I'm single, okay, and I have to win this bet, so that I'll remain that way. But for single men actually looking, you know, they're looking for a partner or whatever the case is, you know, I've even, in my lifetime, I've had girls ask me, like, you know, what are your intentions? Like, you know, like, how long are you here for? And I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. 'Cause I'm like, how long am I here for? Like, I'm here for as long as it works. Like, you know, if it makes sense for us to be together, like, I'm here. If it doesn't work, then I'm not here. Like, I don't have, like, yeah, I'm here for a year. Like, I'm just renting you. Like, I was blown away by that question not too long ago, actually. A female asked me that. I said, you know, we're talking, and she's like, oh, how long are you going to be in my life? Like, how long are you here for? Are you just going to, like, leave? I'm like, what? I was like, I was confused. Okay, so now, if I wanted to just sleep around, be one of those kind of guys, okay, can I really say that? No, I cannot, because then I'm a dog. I'm a piece of crap. I'm one of those guys, you know. I can't just say, hey, I'm just saying hello to you, and I'm giving you a compliment because I'm just purely looking for something physical. I want nothing else from you besides I want to use your body for my own pleasure. Be that guy. Like, no guy is allowed to say that, because if we do, we're pigs. We're disgusting. You know, all men are gross, and hashtag me too. We can't do anything. We can't be that honest. Okay, now, if I lie and I say, hey, you know, I just want to get to know you. Like, you know, you seem like a very down-to-earth person. You seem sweet. You're funny. Like, I just want to be your friend, you know, and I go that route and we end up being friends and it turns into something and then we end up sleeping together and then I kind of back away. Now, all men are liars. All men are this. All men are that. Like, where... Mm-hmm. Where can we really be completely honest in our attention? And even if we are honest and we really are looking for a partnership, be believed, because someone in the past has lied. So even if we're telling the truth, we're a liar because someone else lied to you before. You know, like, where can men really be completely honest and be believed? Because people say, you know, like, oh, well, it takes time. Well, if you don't give the man that time, they can't prove themselves to be that honest man. You know, because women are so, like, scared to be hurt again. And if I say, hey, you know, my intentions are, I want to be with you. I would love to get to a point where we love each other and we're all that, you know, we're married, we have kids. Like, I want to get to there. That's my goal as a man. And I want to see if it can happen with you. Oh, you're just lying. You're just saying it to get in my pants. Like, and then they kind of walk away, or they're weary because they think you're lying to just, you're just quote unquote spitting game. You know, like, so even if we're honest, we're wrong. And if we lie, we're wrong, or we're not believed either way. So, like, where is it? Where's the line?
So with that, I completely understand where you're coming from. Been there. And I don't know. I think that, I feel like no matter what, like being, I feel like putting the ball in their court and making them decide is always going to be the best, because it's like, cool. Like, if you lie, because if you started off with a lie, then you're only going to be deemed a liar. Like, it's better to not be a liar and just be called a liar based off of past relationships than to start it off and be like a lie. So it's like, you know what? Like, if all you really wanted, if you ain't want a relationship, if all you wanted was to, like, do you have your fun, then it's better to be upfront and be like, yo, I just want to have my fun. And if you get called a dog, get called, oh, you ain't no good. The one thing she can't call you is a liar. You know what? So it's like, all right, you know what? Cool. You know what? Yeah. I may be a dog. I may be this and that, but I ain't a liar. You know what the intentions was. You know, straight up. It sounds funny, but it's like, it's
no,
true.
No, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, cool, yeah, but you can't say you didn't know. So if you decide to pursue that or to deal with me knowing that, like, I have no intention of having a real relationship right now, or I'm just, like, chilling, I'm just doing me, like, I'm not trying to put you first right now or whatever. Like, if you allow yourself to, like, think that, even though I've given you no reason to, or I made it clear in the upfront what my intentions was, then that's more a situation that's on you, and that's something you have to, like, deal with, versus, like, you now spitting game and making her think it's one thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm, you know, it's just me and you and out of this and that, and then it turns around, and now, like, once you get in, like you said, if you get in her pants or whatever, now it's like, oh, I got what I want, because then now you're a dog and you're a liar. So it's like, all right, cool. I mean, it's like, risk management. How do we make the best out of this situation? So yeah, it feels like sometimes it feels like a lose-lose situation, but it's like, all right, cool. You can call me a dog. You can say I ain't no good. You can say, you just like the rest of them. You just want sex, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all right, cool. But you can't say I'm a liar though, which for females is like the most important thing. It's like, because you know, once they feel like they've been lied to, like it's hard to come back from that. Cause then you lose all trust. It can go either way. She could either respect the fact that it's like, all right, you know what? He ain't lying to me. He told me straight up. I didn't really want to hear it. Nope. Probably didn't want to hear that. Probably was a tough pill to swallow, but it's a good sign for you. Because now let's say down the line, you have a change of heart. You're like, dag, I really like this girl. It's not even about just like having fun no more. Dog, I really want to get to know her. She'll know that upfront that like, yo, I ain't going. Say anything just to like get something from you, because it's like at the end of the day I can get it from anybody. So it's like I'm gonna be real with you just like I'm real with anybody else, and I'm gonna let you know. That's kind of how I've always just kind of played situations until like I knew, like I said, I've only been in two real relationships. One lasted two plus years, yeah, and then the other one I got married to. So it was always clear. Like, so it was like I could tell, and most dudes in the upfront know a type of girl that they want to pursue. You can tell within the first interaction. Most dudes know what kind of girl she is. Like, is she a girl that like she's like the girl you call late night when you ain't got nothing to do and you bored, or is she the girl that you hit up with the good morning text? It's like that's the only two types it is.
Yeah.
Some girls is getting the good morning text, and some getting girls the are you getting up the text. What you doing. Yeah, the you yeah. up or the what you doing. like that's the only that's for guys. It's real simple. It's like
yeah, that's so such like, a good way to put it. There's only two types of girls. Are you? It's up only two types of good girl. Morning.
Yeah, you either getting a good morning text or you getting a you up. That's it. And that's so like hilarious. If you're a girl listening to this and you or you just think about it, and most of the texts you getting are the you up texts. Then you know his intentions. If you ain't getting the good mornings and like how's your day going, the random how's your day going, you probably he ain't got no interest. So it's like just heed the signs. Heed the signs. This is what we here for. We here for the guys and we here for the girls. So just like heed the signs. Yep. Yeah.
The signs are always there.
It's always there. Yeah. It's real simple. So also, you know
what I think hurts me with females? Is my demeanor, because I'm like a very like joking, carefree, like go with the flow, like kind of guy. Like I'm very laid back, nonchalant most of the time. You know, I joke around a lot. So like when I'm honest, it's hard for me like to be like straight face, like serious kind of person. Like even if I am serious, like I might be like, yo, I love you, and I might like smile like super hard or like kind of laugh, and then you think I'm joking. Like I'm not. Like I just like I can't be serious. It's hard. It's so hard. Unless it's like a death, then I can be serious. But like anything besides something that's tragic, like it's hard for me to be super serious with. So like my demeanor always hurts me, because I can tell a female like, yo, like first of all, I never get into a relationship with intentions of cheating, leaving. Like the point of relationship is to last. So any person I've ever like gotten into a relationship with, it's I'm hoping that it's gonna go somewhere. I've never gotten with someone like, okay, I hope this works out for like a year or two, like a contract, you know. I'm not freelancing females. You know, so but like, which is a good business, I should go into that, but I just need to borrow somebody for like a year till I move.
Got the opt out on your relationship. Yeah. I mean, yeah, for 2 years with an opt in for the 3. Yeah. No restricted. No trade clause. Like,
no trade clause. You can't. Yeah. Don't send me away.
Yeah.
So I think what's hurt me a lot is like I could be super serious, like, yo, I really like you. Or like, yo, like, we got to talk, like, you know, like, I don't know where this is going, like, I'm feeling a little weird right now, we're plateauing, we're not going up or down, we're just kind of like, what are we doing at this point, right? And, like, a lot of times, that conversation goes by the wayside, because they think I'm, like, joking. They might hold the conversation serious at that point, like, it might be a serious conversation for that 5 to 10 minutes, And then the next day they think that I'm like over it, or they might be over it and I'm not. And it's just like, yeah, let's just move past that. And I'm like, I don't think it should be a 1 second. I don't think it should be a one-time conversation when it's something serious. So most females usually tend to think I'm joking with a lot of things, and it's always affected. Like, it's always affected their relationship, hence why I'm single. Yeah, so like, even when it's hard for me to like, I'll be super honest with people, and like with a female, and I'm like, hey, I did this, and they're like, oh, shut up, you didn't do that. I'm like, I just told you what I did. Like, how? Like, what do you like? What? Like, I've had a girl ask me, "What are you gonna do today?" Oh, I'm gonna go chill with some girls. And like the girls like are there's no intentions, like, you know, they're literally just female friends. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing gonna happen. But I'm like, oh, I'm gonna just chill with some girls. They're like, oh shit, I'll be probably gonna chill with like your boys. I'm like, no, that's I'm going to like whatever. I'm not even gonna sit here and argue with, like, then I gotta argue.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna like, argue about the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, like I told you. So now if I get caught hanging out with, whether they're attractive or not, if I get caught hanging out with females, I'm like, I just told you, like, why are you angry? I told you what I was doing. Oh, I thought you were joking. Why? Because my demeanor, like, you know, like it's so, like, my demeanor has caused me the most problems in every relationship.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to change.
I mean, all I can say is, like, yo, it's always, the best thing is always to, like, just be as honest as you can. Like, even if you know she not gonna believe it, just be as honest as you can. Because like I said, she can call you anything she wants, but she can't call you a liar. And that right there, I feel like that's like the one thing that's like the deal breaker. Anything else can be like, oh, you joke around too much, you could try to fix that. Oh, you're not serious enough, you could try to fix that. But once you lie, yeah, it's like trying to fix that and build that trust back, that's tough to get back. So it's like, that's like the, just be as honest as you can.
Courtney had posted you on her Instagram story, I believe it was. You guys were TV shopping, and I remember this. I was dating a girl, and I DM'd her heart eyes, like, because you were on her story. Mm-hmm. I was like, he's so dreamy, right? So I had a girl that I was talking to at the time go into my Instagram DM. She didn't go into the message. She just saw Miss Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
And she went off because she saw a female in my DMs. And I started dying. I could not help but laugh. And she gets angry, and she's just like, what is so funny? You DMing other girls? I'm like, click on the message, please. Like, just go into the message. Like, what are you so angry? Like, and she's like, no, I don't have to see it. I already know your type now. I see what you're doing. Please go into the message. I have to go into the message, screenshot it, and send it to her, because she goes off. She leaves.
Yeah.
And it's my best friend's wife. Like, I'm talking about you. I'm not even like, you know, I'm not doing nothing about, like, I'm like, yo, he's so dreamy. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, like, I didn't lie. First of all, I'm 29. If I had something to hide, it wouldn't be in my phone.
Yeah.
I would delete things. I would erase my own memory so that at least I'm not lying. I forgot. Like, 29. I'm a little too old for this.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I think I've just, between my demeanor, and I think I've picked a lot of the wrong people to be in my life.
I was about to say, but then that's also a sign that, like,
I make a lot of the wrong choices.
Yeah, that's a sign right there. That, like, that's kind of not the kind of person I want to be with. If, like, she don't even, like, do, it's not like she got to go crazy and go super detective. You just click inside the message and see what it says. And then it's like, but if she draw conclusions and she getting mad off of that without even doing any more, so it's like, you know what, you're a little crazy. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even want that energy. I don't even want to try to change you.
Yeah, if you come with receipts and I'm caught, I'm completely done. Like, I put my hands up in defeat.
Yeah.
But if you don't have receipts and you're just gonna outright accuse, I think this is for any female out there. Females, please come with receipts to your man. If you catch him, come with everything, and that's it. Then if he tries to lie to your face, then you just walk away. I mean, if he admits it, then that's between you two, what to do after that. But if you have receipts, like, Yeah, dude, you're caught up. Oh man, that's hilarious. I've lived an interesting life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm friends with some of your exes, so I'll leave it right there. But I'll just leave it right there.
Hey, I'm cool with all my exes, man. I'm actually friends with all of them, which is weird.
That's what I'm saying. I'm cool with some of them too. Is that a bad thing? That's why I'm.
I've been told that that's kind of alarming.
I don't think I was about to say I don't. That's not. I don't think that's common. Like I don't. There's nothing in my exes that I just like can just like hit up. And, well, I mean, I'm also. I don't know because I'm thinking like when I was single, I had exes that I would like, but that was for different reasons. Like I would like hit up, but it was just because it was familiarity. It's not really because of, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know how common. I mean, I know like now there's no way I could even. Say hi to any of them because that would just not end well. But but I'm trying to think like when I before I was with her, like I wasn't
like for like, me. And I tell any girl, like, you know, like you're friends with all your exes. I'm like, yeah, you wanna know why? I gotta make sure they're happy. Like find you know what, that's a good man you got. You keep him. Like I gotta make sure they stay happy so they don't come back over here. I like to make sure they're good over there.
Like, but you know, you know, I feel like that leads to a very interesting other conversation because it's like how would you be okay if some woman you was really feeling was just like super cool with all her exes? Because I feel like that's the thing. It's like a question of like men having women best friends, yeah. or women friends and women having like being close friends with men. And then like I mean, if they were like an ex, that's like even like a more. But I feel like that dynamic is very interesting because I feel like men, like we like to, like we try to make it seem like, yo, I can't just have a female friend. Like it's all good. But then like, I'm trying to think like men probably wouldn't say it, but there's no way a decent man in his right mind would be okay with a woman just having a male best friend. Unless it was like
if he's straight. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just feel like there was no way a man would just be cool with that. Like, nah, but I feel like, you know what I mean? I feel like most men try to like, and I've even tried to do it. It was like, oh nah, she's just cool. Like, we're just cool. But it's like, I'm trying to think, man. I'm like, nah, that's just like if it was a roles were reversed, it's not that I also think I'm a little too laid back because I just like, I just don't care about nothing. Yeah, I just like to a fault where it's like, yeah, I'm like, yo, like, I just don't care. Like, it's like, I know what I bring to the table and I'm like, I just don't give that other person anybody else any energy. But then trying to see it from like a woman's point of view where it's like, you know, they more emotional. They think with their heart. And I just I'm just like, I don't care. Like, so I try to see it from that point of view. So I'm like, yeah, it would be an issue. Cause like, even though I wouldn't care, like if I see them like texting a lot or kikiing a little bit too much,
yeah,
I would definitely have my eyes open to it. And I probably wouldn't make a big deal out of it at first, but like, I would bring it up in my nonchalant way, but I would make it known that like, I ain't feeling that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm just trying to, yeah, I feel like I think a lot of people,
and it's so funny because, a lot of people expect of a partner what they wouldn't want done to them type of thing. Like, you know, like, yeah, like with guys, like, you know, like, okay, yeah, nah, she's just my homegirl. Like, would you, like, unless she's like super ugly, then your girl is okay with it. She's super unattractive. But if she's anywhere mildly attractive, especially if she's even your type, your significant other, male or female, is going to say, yeah, that's a no-go. Like, we're going to have to knit that. Like, yeah, I could text like once a week. Like, yeah, I ain't got to talk that much. You know, people always expect the other person to be okay with something that they would not be okay with. You know, so it is interesting because I've dated females with like guy friends and like for the most part I'm okay with it, but like a subtle part of me is like, what's really going on?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's natural. Like any dude that just really, like, I don't care, but like, I'm not stupid. Like, I'm not like, yeah, I wouldn't be like unaware But like, I feel like any guy that just like, well, I don't know, nothing must be going on. Like,
I just tell them don't get caught, because that's it. If he is just a friend, then you know, cool, whatever, you know, like, whatever. But like, if you're doing something, just don't let me catch you, because then you know, then you're gonna have to go be with him, because I ain't gonna be with you. Just don't get caught. At least with me, just don't let me catch you, because I mean, people tend to lie, you know. So it is what it is with that. But just yeah, I'm a little like I don't really care for the most part. But I'm not dumb. I'm not just gonna be like sleeping and you text him till 3 o'clock in the morning laughing with him. Like, nah, we're not doing that.
No, that's
it's,
like
it's next bedtime. Level, like, it's bedtime. Go to sleep. Turn your phone off.
Yeah, matter of fact, give me your phone. Don't even give it to me, because I'm asleep with it under my face. And so, like, I feel if you try to come to get it, I'm going to treat you like a kid. All electronic. Give me all of them.
Yeah.
iPads, laptops, phones, everything. Watches. Yeah. I want it all.
Yeah. If it's an emergency, your mom can hit me up.
Yeah. She got my number.
Yeah, they got my number too. Yeah. If it's an emergency, they can hit me up.
They need to reach you. They reach me after 10 o'clock. That's it.
I was thinking the same time, 10 o'clock. I was thinking the same thing. Yo, what's 10 o'clock hit? Don't nothing come in this phone.
That's it. You turn in all your electronics at 10 on 1 if I don't have it.
we got a problem.
Yeah. Oh, something must be going on. Oh, you trying to hold on to your phone to 10:05? Oh, yeah. He said he was going to text you back. You wait for that last text message. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Now he texting me back.
Yeah. What y'all talking about? I want to be at the, you know what? Let's make it a group message if you want to text him to at 10. It's a group message.
Yeah,
you
want to text after 10? Yeah. Add me in that. Tell him to go to the group message. Why the group message never popping like this? Well, y'all got secrets? Y'all talk about me?
You don't even work tomorrow. What y'all doing tomorrow? I work.
Yeah.
You know what? You call me to work.
Yeah, you come. It's bring your wife to work day. Oh man. Yeah. All right. I might probably get in trouble for that one. She be listening.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Yep. She loves you. I mean, you might be in trouble, but I think she's the type of person to like. Yeah, I'm never there, but like in my head, her phone is off after like 10 p.m. Unless she's like texting like a female friend about like Desperate Housewives or Love and Hip Hop, whatever shows come on that she watches.
Yeah.
Talking about the new gossip in Love and Hip Hop, I don't think she's texting. I don't think she's texting any male friends after 10 p.m.
Nah, she might not be texting no male friends. Period. Get that. Get that. My male friends. I don't know. I don't know these male friends. They wasn't in your life before. They wasn't at the wedding. They're not that close.
They're not that close.
Yeah.
you know how. And it's funny because guys don't really do this. Like, we say she's our homegirl, but girls try to play like he's like a brother.
Yeah, nah, get out of here. Oh, he's gay. Nah. Since when?
When did he come out?
Yeah, when he came out. Yeah.
Oh, he didn't see him at the last break. I didn't see him at the last break.
Yeah, nah. I was on his IG. He looked very straight to me.
I know females that always play that card. Oh, he's like my brother. Like, that is not your brother. Yeah, did not come out of the same person. Yeah, male. No.
Got it. All right. Guys try to pull that card. It's a dub. That's not my sister.
That's not happening. Nah. We cannot pull that card.
Nah. No way.
I'm gonna try pulling that card.
No, that's like my cousin. What are you talking about?
She's gonna look at me like I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Cousin from Woodstock. No
bueno. Yeah, no bueno. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. I don't know. What else is going on in the world? I don't know. I feel like we didn't talk anything about the world. I'm fine with that. I don't care. I don't.
Yeah, the world was obsolete this week.
Yeah. I don't need to talk about the world.
The world didn't spin because we weren't paying attention. Everything stood still for a week.
Exactly. Instagram was down.
Instagram went down.
Yeah, it's because we wasn't on it trying to find news.
Yeah. That's
can I just say, and I'm just tired of Instagram models. I'll leave it right there because I don't want to get in trouble again, but I'll let you talk about it because you know what I'm talking about. But I'm just tired
Man,
of them.
Man, I am super tired of them.
I'm just tired of them. They was probably sick when Instagram was down. They was probably shaking. Oh my God. Like, a lot of them was unemployed for that day.
They was in line at the unemployment office.
Oh my God. They was trying to get them, get that, them WIC checks and whatnot, get that government aid. They was sick. Oh my God. I have no talent. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? But yeah, I'll leave it right there.
No, yeah, they're, I mean, like, but why? But why are you there? Like, why are you there? And, like, these females you never see in real life. They're just only on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, I've been to New York. I've been to Baltimore now. I've been to Indianapolis. Like, you've definitely traveled way more than me. And you don't see these people.
I mean, they only in Miami. Miami and L.A.
All right, so I gotta
Too cold in New York unless it's like the summertime. And then there, they inside. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta go to, cause Miami got, like, Florida got all the beaches. So you'll see them out there. LA is like always warm. So you see them out there in New York or like the East Coast. If they somewhere, they always indoors. Cause New York is not just a place where you're just outdoors. Like, to be out, like, you're not outdoors unless you're walking to go somewhere. And then you indoor somewhere. New York is not like a let me go chill outside kind of place. So, yeah. Or you only see them on the gram at a rooftop.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. They're not just but out like, and about.
How does one become an Instagram model? Because.
It all starts like, with the surgery.
Yeah, but like they're not famous up until after. Like, where are they affording this? Like, where's the money coming? Like, who's funding these bodies? To then become Instagram models, like, are they borrowing a few thousand? Like, I'll get you back when I get all these followers. Know, I'll get you back.
Lot of them are
unless they're doing some other stuff. Yeah.
A lot of them are dancers, and you know, you save up your money. I mean, that's like them. For me, I save up my money so I could buy video equipment so that I can now, you know, freelance and do more video work. Yeah. Dancers save up their money so that they can go have surgery and now. Do more work and charge higher prices, and you know, because they got better equipment.
It's all about getting better equipment.
That's it. They just upgrading your equipment. I upgraded my camera. They all upgrade, you know,
their stuff.
So it's that's all it is. They just upgrading. Same principle.
I hate them. I hate all. If it wasn't for this podcast, I've come so close since we even started this podcast to deleting all social media. Like, it really gets that tiring. Like,
no,
even if you don't follow any of them, it's just oversaturated. Like, World Star is going to post them. Like, they'll post some news stuff on what's happening, and then they post one of them.
You just can't follow anything.
I have to literally follow, like, you, the missus, and, like, my nephew and nieces. Like, and then I won't see anything.
Yeah. And just church groups. Yeah. Just churches. That's it. That's it.
Just follow the word. That's it. Because if I follow anything else, they will
be
there.
It's going to show up. Yeah.
I just unfollowed one of them. I don't want to shout her out because I don't want her to get more followers. I already hate her. I'm mad at her. I just unfollowed one. I actually just unfollowed one like yesterday. I was like, you know, I'm sick of you. Unfollow. Yeah. I get it's stressful, man. It's so hard.
Yeah. Oh man, that's funny.
They have no talent.
No. I mean, maybe like, they have a talent, but we don't know what it is.
Everybody says Kim Kardashian has no talent. She's famous from a tape, and then now she's just Kanye's wife, and she's a model. You know, I guess that's a talent, but she's like literally been on the cover of Vogue. She's done runways.
I mean, she's a businesswoman now.
Yeah, now she's a businesswoman. But like, she's done runway before. She's done like other
but
things.
But it's her fault.
Whereas like
she started
these
it.
people, no. Yeah, but it was like them, like her versus Instagram models, they literally have just posted pictures on Instagram and that's it.
Like, but I mean, it's the same thing. Like if Kim K had, if like Ray J had Instagram back then, instead of going to whatever porn site he did it to, he would have just put it on Instagram or Facebook, and it would have got the same thing, or he'd have just, you know, so it's no real difference. Like she just, but it's the same thing. Like how now every dancer feel like they're a rapper. Because Cardi B, well, actually, it also, yeah, because this case, Cardi B blew up and made it. Now it's like, oh, okay, cool. Now I could be a dancer and now I could rap. And that's why all of them on Love & Hip Hop are trying to be rappers now. Because it's like, oh, Cardi made it, so I could make it. And it's like, nah, just because she did it don't mean you can.
I've seen a meme that said, Cardi B is living the life that Stevie J promised Jocelyn. And I love it.
For sure. For sure. That was definitely the life he. She would have even took K Michelle life. She really just had no music career. K Michelle had a good run. She was like, K Michelle was like the first Love & Hip Hop girl to like really like,
yeah,
like make it with her music. And then Cardi just like blew it out the water. But like Jocelyn is like, she will only be that.
Who's Jocelyn those other from ones? Love Carly, Carly Red, right?
She's on. Awesome. Carly Red, yeah, Carly Red. I don't. What's her face?
Amina,
was like,
Amina, right?
Oh, Amina Butterfly. But yeah, she had that. She had her group before she was on Love & Hip Hop. Okay. I mean, they was, you know, they had like a hit or two. But that's what I'm saying. Most of them aren't, or they're like super, super local. Where it's like outside of their county, nobody has heard of them.
Their county. You didn't say their city, yeah, or state. It's, yeah, outside the of their county.
Their county. That's it.
Outside of their apartment building. Nobody's listening to you.
Yeah. Yeah. They got the 4-block radius. That's it.
That's right.
I don't know.
I gotta
start
watching all that. I just can't watch it.
I'm not heavy. I used to be. I had like a good 2 or 3 seasons where I was like invested. And then I just like really realized how much it's all of the same. And like how much, like, it's no way that nobody has that much drama in their life. Like nobody. I don't know anybody who just has that much constant drama 24/7, who it's like, you go to a party and you fight, you go to drinks and you fight, you go to use the bathroom and you fight. And it's just like, you just fight and you argue and you fight and you argue. And that's just your life. Nobody has. That's why I was like, all right, you know what? It's entertainment, but it's nothing. This is the fakest reality I've ever seen in my life. So it was just like, all right. And it's like the storylines are the same. It's all the circle. So I just kind of got disinterested.
Like my question is, why is it that, I mean, I get it that it sells, you know, it's what's interesting. So people like will keep recycling these types of ideas for TV shows. But like, mm-hmm, we have the 16 and Pregnant and the Teen Moms and the Love & Hip Hops. Where's like the, like, why isn't like Shark Tank so big? Like,
Shark Tank is huge.
But I don't think it's as big as it should be. Like, Love & Hip Hop is so much bigger than Shark Tank, I feel like.
No, I mean, it's just your audience. I mean, nobody, I just don't think, I mean, I could be completely wrong. I just feel like the same audience that watching Shark Tank isn't watching Love & Hip Hop and vice versa.
No, yeah, they're probably not. That's what I'm saying. I think it's just like so much more like publicized. I mean, because of the drama, like, you know, drama sells. You know, people.
Well, I mean, it's the drama. Like, most people don't care. Like, most people who like love Shark Tank are interested in business and like what it takes and like the different questions that they ask. And like, all right, cool. You ask it for that much, but you value it at this much. And it's like, if you ain't business minded or have the slightest inkling of caring, but you like into like just like the drama and people fighting and throwing drinks in their face, then it's like, all right, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, some people have a balance where it's like, yeah, for me, I was like, I could watch both and be entertained, or I could have been entertained by both. But it's like, now it's just like, all right, I get it. Like, the drama is the same. Like, with the Shark Tank, you're getting like, cool. Like, the questions might be similar, but it's like every business is different. And seeing, and yeah, it's, for me, it's interesting because it's like, it's businesses that you like, wait, what? How is this a business? But it's like, they've made it a business and it's like, oh, these people will really invest in it. And it's like, all right, cool. It's like more motivation. Like, there's no motivation in seeing old, rappers who had one hit talk about all the girls that they used to get and all of these dancers now that want to be rappers and all they do is fight. Like, it's like, all right, it gets old super fast.
And, like, where's the good quality, like, let's say Fresh Prince, you have Martin, Living Single. Like, those shows were, like, there were, like, Uncle Phil was a lawyer. Like, in Living Single, Max was a lawyer. Queen Latifah, she was what? She owned a magazine. Like, she was the head of a magazine company that she started, you know, like, self-started. While Martin worked at a radio station, like, these people had, like, good careers. And now we're at Love and Hip Hop. Like, why did we go backwards? Like, they canceled. All that was canceled. Like, we canceled all that. Even the Wayans brothers. Like, their dad owned, like, he had his diner. They ran a newsstand. Like, people had jobs, and, you know, now we're at just, like, retired rappers. Like, yeah, I used to sleep with this many girls, and I can make you famous, too, and let's sleep together, and then, oh, let's door drink at each other's face. Like, it's just, we went completely backwards, I feel like. I don't know where the wires got crossed, but we went backwards, and it upsets me.
I mean, yeah, I just feel like it's, like, polar. We have just strong, like, polar opposites. We got, like, stuff like that where it's just, like, pretty much a stereotype of, like, the culture, and which doesn't really help in the public eye. But then you got, you know, movies or people like Jordan Peele or like what's the lady Ava DuVernay or the chick that did The Shy and stuff like that, where like you got shows like that where it really depicts, oh, you just got black people in position that are like telling stories that show black people in a different light, or it shows real life, and it makes you think. So it's just like, I mean, again, it's kind of like our conversation before, where it was like, I mean, yeah, you're gonna always have people who, you're gonna always have the Love and Hip Hop, where it's just like ratchet TV, because there's just a market for it, and people, as long as people watching it, people gonna keep making it. But then now you got so much more other outlets where it's like, before it was like, it was ratchet TV, and it wasn't really a lot of other outlets. Now it's like, cool, you don't want to watch that. Now, whereas it was like 10 channels before, now it's 10,000 channels. So it's like, all right, cool, you don't want to watch Rise TV. You got 9,999 other shows that you could watch. And you ain't got to watch that. So, you know, it's going to always be there, but it's like a matter of like what you give the attention to.
Yeah, I feel like I just kind of feel like they almost, how can I say, like, even like Bill Cosby, I mean, granted what he's done, but he was what, a doctor, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. They were both doctors. Like, yeah, they kind of canceled out the black role models, in a sense, like, for the most part. Like, there's, I'm sure there's still, like, I don't watch TV that much anymore, but like, I'm sure there's still some stuff that I could watch where there's a strong black role model in the TV show, acting or not. But there was a lot more, I feel like, before.
I mean, yeah, they just, I mean, like, the days of just, like, the strong black TV person where, like, they didn't have real issues, I feel like that time is gone. Like, now it's more about, let's show life as it really is. Because even, like, Cosby Show, like, that wasn't really real life for a lot of black people. Not to say that there wasn't black middle to higher class families like that, but that wasn't the norm. So it wasn't, like, I feel like people could relate more to that because it was like, oh, that would be nice to have. Because there was a lot of people that would be like, oh, Uncle Phil was like my father. He was like my uncle. Or Cosby was like my father, my uncle. Because it's like, we didn't have that. So it was like, dang, that was something nice to aspire to. But like now it's like TV shows where it's like, oh, no, I see that. Or it's like, oh, yeah, I live in the shower. I live in the hood like that. Or I've been through that. Or I understand that. So it's more of like more real life, like, all right, cool. It's good to be able to see like what I go through be depicted in a way versus like
you still, like, for instance, like Will, like Fresh Prince was that, but like Will was his own story, you know, like, cause his dad had came back, and that's still, I can cry watching the episode any single time. Like, I watch it. Like,
yeah. That still gets me.
Still gets me. You know, like,
I can't even, like, if I see it, like, they'll put the clip on Facebook, I got to scroll past
Yeah, no, I can't watch it today. Yeah, not today. Yep. that was some real life stuff. Like, you know, he lived a very nice life because his aunt married, you know, a man who was a lawyer, became a judge, you know, but like he still had his real life. Like his friends were still in Philly, like going through some stuff, and his dad came and then ditched him again. Like he had his the episode where he gets shot. Like, you know, they had real stuff going on. Yeah. But there was also that, like, he had his negative side.
That would just be corny right now. I feel like it's a different world. Like I mean, it's that hard to say now too. Because the
no
first
pun intended. That
I
was
mean,
a
yeah,
show.
No pun intended. But that's what I'm saying. But I feel like a show like that now would just, I feel like it would be corny because it wouldn't be rooted. Like, it wouldn't feel like real. We just, like, that felt good because that was the 90s. But I'm saying, like, a show, like, it's hard to say because Fresh Prince is what it is, so it's hard to just act like it never existed. But, like, having that show now in 2019, like, it just wouldn't, and to try to make it come off like that, it just wouldn't feel good. Like, that feels good because, like, the Fresh Prince is still good. Like, I can still watch it. And, yeah, you could have those kind of episodes, but those, like, a lot of that stuff would be a lot deeper. Like, it would be a lot darker. Because that's just the time we live in. So it would be like cool. It would be like did you see the Fresh Prince? They did like a Fresh Prince trailer for like some dude like made it like his own version, like the Fresh Prince, like the premise of it. But it was like a lot darker. That's a perfect example. I forgot all about that. But yeah, look for it. He did it went viral. It was cool and it was cool. But that's what I'm saying, because it's like we just live in a world right now where things are a lot darker. It's a lot more quote unquote real. So they did the Fresh Prince, but it was like Fresh Prince, but it was like dark, like a darker, more like a darker, deeper kind of version of it. And so, yeah, that's kind of, I feel like that's just kind of where we are. Cause I feel like they would have tried to do a Fresh Prince version like that in 2019. It would just be like, nah, that's super corny. Like, nah, ain't nobody gonna watch that. People watch it now. I mean, they can watch the older version now because of like what it meant for then. And yes, some of the message still relates, but it was like, cool, that the way they delivered that message worked for that time. But for now to try to deliver that same message, you would have to do it in a more relatable way.
You ever see there's a show that's currently kind of like that. I mean, Netflix just canceled it. I think it lasted for 3 seasons. People are starting to write in a whole frenzy. They're trying to get it like an actual channel to buy it out. To keep it going, but it's called One Day at a Time.
I've never seen that.
So I think you'll love it. I think you would love it. It's a Cuban family. It's a single mom. She has 2 kids, and her mom lives with her. So there's the grandma, the mom, and she has a boy and a girl. And it's just their everyday life. Like, you know, like she has she's divorced. And it's just like they talk about like the grandmother hates Trump, like Trump is president, like it's very current, like it's very current things, like issues, like their daughter she's in the closet and she's been trying to hide it for so long. She eventually comes out to her mom and like little things like that. Like even the son, he's like 13, 14 years old and he wants a pair of Yeezys, right? So he tells his grandma, like, grandma, I only have $300, but they resell for like 500. Like, I need to get these. And her grandson is like her favorite. So she goes to Foot Locker to get the sneakers. And the guy in front of her buys like 5 pair. So she's like, she's fine. She's perfectly healthy. She tells the guy like, oh, I'm sickly. I'm really old. My grandson asked me for this one thing. Can you please, you know, he just wants these Yeezys. And he's like, no. And then everybody pulls out their phone. Cause that's the age we live in, you know? And somebody's like, dude, you're about to go viral for not, like, just sell her the sneakers for $300. Like, just sell her the Yeezys. And he's like, no, I don't care. And he eventually breaks down, you know, he sells the sneakers and she walks away super happy. Like, she faked it the whole time. Like, she's not sickly. She just wanted the sneakers for her grandson. Like, but like, you know, the whole camping out for Yeezys, like not liking Donald Trump. They talk about coming out the closet. They talk about the whole building a wall, like citizenship, because they're from Cuba. They talk about being illegal immigrants and like they tackle a lot of like very current issues. And but like they flip it so well, like it can be such a dark, touchy moment where it's so sad and you're about to tear up and then somebody says something really funny, hilariously stupid, and you start laughing right away. Like, they flip everything so well in the show. But it only lasts 3 seasons. They're trying to get it repicked up by an actual channel to keep it going. But it was a very good show. You should watch it.
Yeah, check it out. Time.
Pretty good. It's like half-hour episodes, like, you know, any kind of, like, regular TV show.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll check it out.
That was hilarious. Did you see the new Endgame trailer?
I did. I mean, they're not really showing anything. It's just like not. A lot of...
It's confirmed like, 3 hours,
though. Thanos wasn't even in the trailer. Like, I'm like, all right, you know what?
I feel like everything they showed was like the first 45 minutes to an hour. The movie's 3 hours.
I'm good. I don't need another trailer. Like, honestly, I'm like, I don't, like, just, like, we get it. It's like it's a month or so away. Like, we already get it. This is it. Tony Stark is going to die. Like,
no,
we
already know. Don't say that. He's not going to die.
We already know. Like, he's probably not going to be the only one to die. Like, they're getting there. It's it. They're cleaning house for like the first 10 years of like that first set of Avengers. They're making way for the new set with Black Panther and Captain Marvel and all these other ones. So it's like, we get it. We got it. Like, Chris Evans has already said he's not coming back as Captain America. So we know he's getting out of there too. Like, it's all right. Like, we got it. Like, so I don't need another trailer where you don't show anything. And then we get all excited to see nothing.
Do you think?
Like, I'd rather you just wait.
Do you think the next 10 years can rival this past 10 years? No.
No.
You don't think it? No. Not even close?
No. Not even close. No.
I'm saying, as great as
Black Panther is, like, the first one was great because it was a cultural thing. But as a straight storyline and comparison with the whole story, it wasn't like, oh my God. Like, Black Panther was so great because it's like, even Black Panther's story is cool. And I mean, yeah, it was like the fight in Endgame ended up being in Wakanda. But it wasn't like, in the grand scheme of everything, like, the Black Panther was so intricate to it. Like, if you really think about it. Like, that's what I'm saying. And I feel like going forward, he's not going to be able to carry. Like, it's just like, no. And because it was like, it's the first 10 years. So it was like from start to really seeing it all together, seeing Iron Man come together, Thor, Captain America. Nah, it's not even close.
Yeah, like, I agree. And I think it's only because of like, I think it'll take double the amount of time to try to top like the three Iron Mans, the Captain Americas, like Winter Soldiers, and like, it's going to take a lot to top these films because, like, they
And I just feel like the, so character, yeah, the character development on these were just insane. And yeah. I feel like we really, what's his name? Tony Stark. It don't matter what movie he plays from here to the rest of his life, he will always be Tony Stark. Chris Evans will always be Captain America. Like, Thor will always be Thor. Like, that's what I'm saying, like, these people, like, they, these roles define their career. Like, I mean, they already had, well, Chris Evans had a cool, okay career. Like, this made his career. Same with Thor. Like, he had an okay career, but, like, this defined his career. Like, he's Thor for the rest of his life. So it's like, the same way, like, we received, like, the first Superman. What's his name? Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
That's his name? No, Christopher Reeves. Christopher Reeves. Yeah. Like, he did other movies besides Superman, but he's Superman.
Like
Thor will be in his wheelchair, and he will be Thor. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Chris Evans will be on his deathbed, and he will be Captain America. Like, that's just it. And I feel like the character development on him is crazy. So unless they get, and that's what I'm saying, I don't know who you could even get now as far as actors. Unless Leo becomes like one of the a Marvel character. Like, that's the only way it's really going to take this next 10 years to the next level.
I mean, I don't think they'll even attempt to go anywhere near that direction with character development. Like, I think, like, you know, we've heard the rumors about, like, what's her name? Ironheart, like a female Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think because of outside forces is going to diminish them a little bit because they're going to have to be so diverse. They're going to have to expand on, like, not just your everyday, like, white superhero. Like, you know, like, we have the Black Panther, but now we're going to have to expand more. Like, we have Captain Marvel, now we have a female, you know, we have to have more diversity, more and more diversity, because, you know, of every other, all these hate groups, you know?
Yeah.
All 1,000, whatever of them, you know, they're going to have to keep, and I think that's going to, in a way, that's going to hurt the roles, because, like.
So I got a very interesting question that I feel like could be very interesting, but I don't know. We already had an hour and a half in, and I don't know if it's going to take for forever, but it's like kind of, and so like, okay, how do I ask this? So like, in kind of what you were saying, like, are certain roles just better with white people and not having diversity?
Yes.
Like, I don't necessarily need a black James Bond. Like, I don't need
that. I don't. Like, I don't need a, like,
I don't need, like, a black Iron Man. I don't need a black Thor. I don't need it. Like, I'm okay. Like, I just, like, I get it. So, diversity is good sometimes, but not all the time. Like, I don't, like, I just don't think it would. Okay, cool. I'm glad we, at least we'll die on that one together.
I'll lay on that sword. It's fine. I grew up, I mean, it's sad to say, but I grew up with a white Superman, a white Batman. Like, I grew up with a white Thor. Bruce Banner's white. Like, I don't need any other race playing these characters. Like, that's, like, there has been a black Spider-Man before. I'm not opposed to Miles Morales. Like, into the Spider-Verse. Like, I'm not opposed to that. There has been a black Spider-Man. So that's a different story. You know, like, there's alternate universes with Spider-Man. There's, like, there's the Peter Porker. Like, you know, did you watch Into the Spider-Verse? Did we talk about that already?
I did. I didn't watch it, but you said it was really good.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's multiple universes for Spider-Man. So there's 1,000 different ones. So I'm okay with a black Spider-Man. I don't want to say I'm not okay with it, because that sounds so bad. But Iron Man is white. He's a white male. He's Tony Stark. I don't need to see Ironheart. But for the same way goes the other way. The Black Panther, he's black. He's from Wakanda. I don't need to see a Cuban Panther. I don't need to see it. I don't care to see it. I don't need to see Speedy Gonzalez is like the little, what is he, like a little Mexican mouse that runs fast. I don't need to see someone else play that role. Like, I don't need a different voiceover. Like, I like my characters the way they were built.
Yeah.
And that's it. Keep it that way. Yeah. I don't need diversity all the time.
Yeah, I don't, that's the thing. Yeah, all right, cool. Cause yeah, I'm just like, it sounds nice to say like, oh yeah, diversity. But like, I don't, like you said, I don't want to die on that diversity sword for every single thing. Like, okay, cool. Like I know how like the next James Bond is like such a big deal. It's like, oh, the next James Bond should be black. But he's like, he was never black. Why does he need to be black now? Like, isn't it's okay.
Isn't James Bond like British? Like, he's British, I'm sure there's black people. Like, Idris Elba's like, isn't he from the UK?
He was like the front runner of like, Idris Elba should do it. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing that. But my thing is like, I'm not like fighting like, no, it just needs to be black.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, and I'm not anti-black. I'm not against my people. I'm just saying, it don't have to happen. Yeah. Sometimes it's okay to have a white man. It's okay. It's all right.
The same thing happened with Scarface. They talked about redoing Scarface. Did you remember? Do you remember that? That was a few years ago. They talked about it.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
And I was in an uproar. They talked about redoing Scarface, who's a Colombian drug lord, and they were gonna have Leonardo DiCaprio play Scarface. No. I also feel like
certain movies just should not become remakes.
Yes.
Like, I feel like if y'all running out of movie ideas that bad, and then y'all trying to remake, I mean, classics, not like classics for like that generation, but not going forward. No, we will be talking about Scarface to the end of time.
Yeah.
As just as a great movie. And it's just like, yeah, like certain stuff, just like, don't touch it. Just leave it alone. Because when it diminishes the classic. It's like, oh, because it becomes a remake. Like, no.
Like, I like the fact that you know, Aladdin is going to be live action. But, like.
Yeah, but it's not a remake. It's the first live action.
Yeah, it's for that. But, like, Will Smith has some huge shoes to fill, because Robin Williams is it wasn't live action, but Robin Williams is the genie.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna fit. He's not gonna top that. But I don't think he. I mean, that's my thing. Like, if it would have been like a real, like live action, like the first time, and it wouldn't have been an animation, that would have been different. But I feel like it's a sort of a different. I mean, it's still very much it Robin Williams Lane, but because it's live action and Robin Williams was never live action, he'll get like sort of a pass. But it's still pressure.
No,
it's
yeah,
still it's still huge pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think some classics should be not touched, and definitely I love my diversity as much as the next person, but I'm okay with not being so diverse all the time.
Yeah.
I'm okay with
it. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, cool. So if we get canceled by everybody who listens, at least we'll go out together. Because, I'm just like, I don't need it all the time. I just don't. Like, I'm okay.
I don't need a white Shazam. I'm good. I got my guy.
Yeah.
I'm Black Shazam. I mean, Shazam is white.
I was about to say he was white. Okay.
Like Steel, Shaq, when he played Steel.
Yeah.
That was terrible, but it was funny.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, and I get it going forward, but that's my thing. Like, cool. Like, because in this revamp version, they'll do things where it's like, for a lot of us, or a lot of people, a lot of kids growing up, their version will only be a black version. Like, now that's like Black Panther now being Black Panther. And now, let's say 50 years from now, they're like, you know what? Black Panther should be white. Or he should be from South Africa. Because in South Africa, that's where they have a lot of, white South Africans. He should be South. Yeah. He can be African. He can be South African. He can be white. A very, very light skin. And it's like, I don't think that's okay. I don't think that's appropriate this time. You know? So it's like, it's all right. So, and then I think it goes the other way too. Like, all right, cool. Yeah, sometimes it's necessary to give black people a chance. But then sometimes it's like, no, that role is for a white man. It's okay. And I feel like we don't have to, like, try to just put black people in the white person's role. It's like, let's just create our own roles.
Yeah.
And then make those pop in. The same way we did for hip hop. Like, it was like, all right, cool. You know what? We created hip hop and then made hip hop poppin'. Like, we didn't try to do black country. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure some people try to try it, but it was like, no, that don't really fit. So let's really create our own. So yeah, that's that. That was just on my mind. All right, cool. I'm glad that we, agree and we'll cancel together.
they'll have the pitchforks out.
Yeah.
I'm all the way in Pennsylvania, so they're going to get to you first.
I mean, unless they come from Pennsylvania, then they get you first.
Yeah.
We almost 2 hours in again, homie. We started off the podcast saying we wasn't even going to get to an hour.
It started off very heavy with music. We went into the movies, and that's it. That was all she wrote.
Little relationship talk in the middle.
Sandwiched it in.
Yeah. I feel like we got a nice sandwich this pop. Nice pot on this podcast. Got sourdough bread with the music and the movies. I gave him my little Laker rant.
You went your Laker rant in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't talk about Odell leaving New York, getting traded. Cleveland's going to be dangerous.
They're going to be very dangerous.
New York is just mailing it in on all fronts. we did get, what's his face from Pittsburgh?
Le'Veon
Bell. The Jets.
How long do you think, in a guesstimation, do you think it will take for New York in any sport to be relevant? Like competing for a championship in any aspect, football, baseball, hockey.
I mean, I'm not a huge hockey guy, so for all I know, like that. Because, I mean, aren't the Islanders doing okay?
I think they're doing okay.
I can talk basketball, like they're going to suck for forever. Like, I feel like that's just it. Like, their heyday was in the 90s when it was
Patrick Ewing
and Allen Hughes and all of them. Like, that was, like, the highlight. Even though they didn't win anything, at least it was competitive. Like, it was something to talk about. Now it's just, like, Knicks fans just, like, and I'm not, like, a huge Knicks fan. It's just, like, by default because I'm from New York. So it's, like, you know, I want them to do good. But it's just, like, you just anticipate every year something happening or, like, you're getting the short end of the stick and it just being a bad year. And you just anticipate it. And it's just, like, that's what you expect. So it's, like, a winning season is, like, us fighting for the eighth spot. And, like, that's a great season for the Knicks. Fighting or, like, being in, like, ninth or 10th place where it's, like, all right, cool. All we need is, like, a two-game winning streak. We know how the East is. Where it's, like, a two-game winning streak could be the difference between the 8th spot and a 12th spot.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I feel like that's where – that's, like, goal number one for the Knicks. Because right now it's, like, cool, we're only lottery team. So now it's, like, all right, cool. If we can compete for, like, an 8th spot, then that's progress. And then it's like, all right, cool. Oh, middle of the pack? Okay, cool. But I feel like that's going to take so much time because right now the Knicks organization stinks. Nobody wants to play in New York.
Fingers crossed that they get, like, the hat trick and Kyrie and KD come over and then they still get that top draft pick and get, like, Zion or RJ Barrett from Duke. And then that's it. Like,
but the Knicks are so bad is that they would find a way to screw that up.
Yeah, they would.
Like, James, it could Dolan be all in line for them. He'll find a way. He would get all of them and he would say something stupid to KD or to Kyrie. And next thing you know, they'd be out of there. Requesting a trade.
Requested, yep.
Yeah. Like, he just, like, I have no faith in him as an owner. He's the worst. The absolute worst.
Is it possible to impeach an owner?
No, I don't think it is. It's not as long as, because at the end of the day, it's not like the Knicks aren't making money. Like, they're still making money. Like, the Knicks still sell out every arena. They're still the most expensive, the most expensive team in the NBA, like worth $6 billion, $7 billion. So, like, no, because that's a thing. Like, unfortunately, like, Knicks fans are just diehard Knicks fans. So it's like they're going to go support their team, good or bad. So they're going to sell out. They're going to buy the Knicks gear. Like, they're getting the TV deals. So it's like, for him, he's like, he don't care. That's the thing. It's like, they're still making money. Once they stop making money, then it's like, all right, wait a minute. Something's going on here. And that's when, like, even if he has a board of people or whatever who could probably get rid of him, that's the only time that would care. They would care. He's making the money. They don't care. He's not about basketball at all. He's about money.
I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Magic ain't looking too good right now either, so. I'm telling you, if they don't pick up somebody in this offseason, oh boy. I'm telling you, like, because, you know, lately, Magic been, you know, LA loves Magic. Magic Johnson, he could do no wrong. 5 championships, multiple all-stars, getting, you know, LA love him. But right now, as a GM, he ain't really, or president of basketball operations, whatever he is, he ain't cutting it. He ain't cutting it. This roster was trash when he put it together with Rondo, Michael Beasley. He ain't even on the team no more. He playing in China. you traded away. Julius Randle was balling out. You traded away Brook Lopez, who's balling out. Oh, you traded away Zubats, who was like a good quality big man. Like, it ain't looking good. He better have some tricks up his sleeve.
I think he does. I mean, as much as I don't like the Lakers, the NBA is weird when those historic teams aren't winning.
The Knicks ain't been winning in a while.
They're not historical. Oh, you mean like winning like historical. The Celtics? Yeah, like they're not the Celtics or Lakers. Like, the Celtics are, you know, they were competing last year, though. They will be competing this year. Like, you know, when at least those two, like the Celtics and Lakers, have to be competing.
The Lakers haven't been in the playoffs in 5 years, 5 or 6 years.
See, that's
probably 6 years.
like we got like not that it's like, not that I'm not okay with it. Like the Bucks have the best record in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is like, Giannis better get MVP.
If they give it to James Harden, I swear I'm writing a letter to the league. I swear.
And he had a good season, but Giannis has the Bucks with the best record in the league.
That's my thing. That's what I'm saying. And my thing is what's pissing me off is because right now Houston is on like a winning streak. So now that's going to make it seem like, oh, and then they're like third in the West. So it's like, oh, James Harden, look what he's doing. Oh, whoa, Houston. I'm like, no, he gave it to him last year, had number one record. I get it. Fine. He got robbed the year before because that's when Westbrook got the triple-double. So it was like first time done in a million years. So they wasn't going to give it to James Harden. But Giannis right now has the Milwaukee Bucks, whose second best player is Chris Middleton. With the best record in the league. Like, come on. Like,
is he a top five player in the league? You got him as a top five player in the league? Giannis.
Of course.
He's my nephew's favorite player.
He's a problem. He's averaging like 27, 13, and 6.
Yeah. No, he's
like, that's insane. Six assists for a 7-footer.
If he could develop a jump shot, especially like a 3, it's over for the league.
He don't even need a 3. If he had a mid range, like cool, I get it, it's a 3-point league, so of course a 3 would be great. But just a mid range because you should see the like
get that. Like, if he had a mid range, he's, and it's over.
Dangerous because then they're gonna play up on you because it's like if you had a mid range, they're gonna play up on you because they don't want you to shoot, and then he takes one dribble and he's at the basket. They play up on you, one dribble, one power dribble, you at the basket. He's unguardable.
Yeah, like if he could this offseason, I'm sure as humble as a great of a guy as he is, if he called Tim Duncan this offseason and said, hey, I want that bank shot, like show me. And work with Tim Duncan for all season. Like everybody's always calling these legends to work. You know, Kareem and Kevin Garnett is working with kids. You know, like these young talents. Kobe's working with Jason Tatum. Somebody call Tim Duncan and get that footwork going. Get that mid range. It's over. Giannis could take over.
Yeah, I mean, no, this is. I mean, and my thing is, what is he? He's in his what, fifth year, sixth year?
I think so. he's like 20 something years old. Take 24.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He had a lot of – it's a lot of upside for him.
Him and Anthony Davis. It's so weird that, like, these two – like, big men are going to be, like –
well, because they're not traditional.
Yeah, they're not traditional.
Yeah, they're not traditional. They're like big men. They're, like, guards in big men's bodies.
Yeah. they're going to be the faces of the league. Like, Steph is still there. Like, you know, he shoots from, like, the other side three, but – like, as far as the best players in the league are all going to be big men. Like, but Jokic, the Joker from the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Like, big men are really taking over. Because they're not traditional big men, but they are really, really taking over.
I mean, you just think about it. It's like, that's just unheard of. I mean, because it's like the norm for a guard to be able to get you a triple-double or get you, like, you know, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 or 6 assists. But now imagine being able to do that and you're 7 feet tall. It's like, how do you guard that? That's unguardable. So yeah, no, it's insane. I'm getting tired. It's been a long day. And, we pushing 2 hours, homie.
All right.
And I gotta be up early.
All right. End scene.
But yeah, end scene. Yes. End cut. But, to all the listeners out there, thank you if you made it this far. If you made it this far, then you're too late. I appreciate y'all for listening. Definitely stay on the lookout for us. We are in this for the long haul. Fingers crossed, hopefully, doing this because we enjoy it. Till we don't enjoy it no more, till it becomes a job, and then that's when we out. Drop the mic. We're just gonna be looking for us on a Monday, and we're just not gonna be there. It's gonna be a problem.
Definitely.
But until that time, no, we're having fun. We're enjoying it. Free. It's been real. I'm gonna go sleep for a couple hours, and we will be back.
All right. See you next week.
All right, y'all.
All right, peace.